You for the word this morning, Father. I pray that your spirit will take over here in Jesus' name, take over everyone's mind here so that we can hear your word. Take over my speech here this morning, Father. And we don't want to experience a dead hour, we want to experience an hour that's alive, Father. And this is not just another meeting on your heart, you've got things planned for people here. And I pray that they will come to fruition. They will come, they will be accomplished here this morning. So I just speak in the Spirit and I say that God's word will fall on fruitful ground here this morning. I take charge over any discouraging, negative spirit here in Jesus' name. And I say you will not minister to your people, not minister to God's people in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Topic of the sermon. Different source, different motivation. Basically, and I must always be careful not to summarize my sermon in the first few sentences, but depending on your source of your relationship with God, wherever, whatever it is, you will have a different motivation. What I'm asking, what I want you to think about today is, what is your source? Because that will determine your motivation. It will determine how motivated you are in your Christian life. Okay. So, I'm going to start off. Now, who are you in Afrikaans service? Oh, Ivan. So, I'll have to tell all the same jokes, okay? Just this time in English. Hopefully, you can handle that. The same stories. Because I don't have that many stories. But I will start off with this example. Sometimes we can... A lot of times, a lot of things that God tells in His Word, we hear it, but we don't receive it because we need to make a shift, a realignment, whatever God tells us. Now, I've got this good example. I use it in Afrikaans service as well. It's when your wife talks to you, I'm married, and there's an issue. Now she's here. Now I have to change. I have to talk a lot softer now. Because at Afrikaans service, she wasn't here, so I could say what I want. But now she's here. Anyway, so she starts talking. We were discussing something. There's an issue. She's unhappy or whatever it is. Now, as a husband, as a bad husband would do is it would seem like we're listening, but we're already thinking about the solution. We're already trying to fix the thing. Now, like I said, is the wives pick it up if you're not listening. You can pretend to be listening. You can look like this. And she would see, no, you're not listening. You are thinking. You are processing this problem. You want to give me an answer the moment I stop. And that's not why I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you so that you can listen. Just hear me. So, that's a wrong approach from the man. We're repenting this morning. Well, I am. And you can miss the whole thing completely because you think she's talking to me because she wants an issue to be solved and I must start thinking about the solution now. And when she stops, I must give her the solution. But you're missing it. Most cases. Women, can you say amen or something? Married women. Is it recht what I say? So, the right approach would be, is that you don't necessarily think of a solution at all. You try and hear what she says. Listen. So, you switch your mind off, which is difficult, but you switch it off, you listen, try and understand. And she will, if she picks up that you listen, and afterward it works, afterwards you say, oh, so is that how you feel? Man, solved. You didn't solve anything, but it's solved. It's just because you listened. Now, what I want to say is sometimes God tells us things and we approach Him in the wrong way. We are in a different, our angle of approach is completely wrong. It's like there and God says, no, but you have to actually come back because I want you to go there. So many things in Scripture are like that. There's one that says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Doesn't make sense. As human beings, we want. It's better if somebody gives me a house than when I give one away. But scripture doesn't work like that. Scripture is different. Anyway, so there's another one that I want to talk about. And that is blessings. Blessed, brother, be blessed. You know, we have sermons that, you know, blessings from God. Power for your blessing in this hour. I don't know what. But there are so many sermons and scriptures about blessing. But what is a blessing? When we hear blessing, well, when I hear blessing, the first thing I think of is like, whoa, God's going to bless me with a house or another house or whatever, or a car, or it's like financial stuff. It's stuff that I can touch. Yee, he's so set. But, okay, let's read the first scripture. It says Ephesians 1 verse 3. I struggled this morning to say Ephesians the whole time. Ephesians. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, blessed, it's past tense, in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It says spiritual blessing. So when we hear blessing, we think natural stuff. And I want to say loud and clearly, God wants to bless us in that area also. But we, for goodness sakes, can't preach about that only. There is a big area in our lives, and they say, who are they? I don't know who they are, but they say we are primarily spirit beings. Okay? We have to, got this flesh, and we have to deal with this thing until we die. But this thing is not going nowhere when I die. Spirit is living on. So we are more spirit, actually, if I can call it like that, than natural. And this scripture says, but God has in Christ Jesus blessed us not with cars and money, but He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Okay? So we're going to get to the next scripture. There's an inheritance for each and every one of us spiritually, blessing here on earth. And that blessing doesn't mean that sometimes we can think, oh, when Jesus comes back or I die and I go to heaven, that's when I'm going to get all the blessings, the spiritual blessings. No. You can experience this blessing, this spiritual fullness. Now, not when you die, but from now we can start growing in it. And those of you who attended the SOS with CS, you know, his life is a living testimony of what I'm talking about this morning. It's like he doesn't have to preach. He can have one scripture there and then he can just share. He can say what happened there outside church door when I was driving here. While I was at the office, God touched this man, gave me this word. This guy got healed. This guy got saved. Raised from the dead. And no, I'm not, don't want to idolize CS or whatever. But we can have lives like that. But when we look at scripture and we see blessings or reward, we think, wow, all the physical things. But no. Primarily, God wants to bless us spiritually. So what I want to start off this morning is you and I can operate on a different level in life. God wants us to operate on a different level. Not a boring, it's meander. What is meander? Living existence. It's not like a day-to-day thing. He can give us more. Ephesians 1 verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. And that's what I want God to do to us this morning. To enlighten our eyes, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? Just after that weekend with CS, I was so, in a nice way, challenged, you know, because sometimes we say God is challenging us, and then everybody's like, God is challenging us. No, when God challenges me, I get excited because He's a loving Father, and I'm not scared of what He's going to challenge me with because He's my Father. Why would He hurt me? So, after that weekend, I was challenged. And I want you to, if you hear challenge or God wants you to give or your heart and you register a negative thing here, you something going on here, and it's like, why does the pastor have to preach about giving again? Then I want to say to you, I don't want you to change. I just want you, God wants you to get closer to Him so that you can see His heart. Because then you'll respond differently to giving, to sacrifice, to whatever, to all those things. You understand it. It's like me, I use this example all the time. Like my daughter there. I can tell you a story. She's got the blocked nose now. So now my father-in-law doctor gave us the salt spray that you must spray in her nostrils. It's bad stuff. I tell you, this thing, you have to push it in here and then you have to spray. So now, but what I see from her, I do it, and it's, but because she knows it's me, I hope so. She knows it's me, but that's, it's uncomfortable. It's like she knows dad's here and this is not nice, but it's okay. He's here. So it's like, she takes it and then she's fine. Now, maybe this sounds too spiritual, but I believe it's just because she knows that dad's not going to hurt her. That's what I'm hoping she thinks. But even though what she's going through is not so nice now, but no, no, it's dad. It's all right. He's not going to hurt me. So, man, you know, I don't know what this is for, but it's all right. Now, in the same way, we respond to God. If we get some spiritual discipline, if we respond negatively, it's because we don't know Him. Anyway, I shouldn't preach about that. But that last part of the scripture, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And once again, when we hear scripture and we see inheritance, I want to tell you that your inheritance is not only when Jesus comes back, it should be now. But then we once again think about different inheritances. But this talks that we can inherit those spiritual blessings. We can inherit a full spiritual awesome life with Jesus Christ, dynamic, living, alive, now. I said in the first service, it's like you have a bank account there in heaven, but you don't have your PIN number. In other words, you can't get the stuff. And the excitement in life, and that's how we should live our lives. I mean, I'm a Christian for 15 years. Yes, sometimes it was boring, but it's not because God was boring. It's because I was somewhere where I shouldn't have been. But Christian life is not boring. We can have a roller coaster of a life where God uses us supernaturally around every corner. But I need the PIN so I can get the bank account. The things can fall from heaven. Are you with me? All right. And let's talk about the youth just quickly. I just feel that I should do that. We need to tell you this more often. That's our mistake. It's not your mistake. But I know that many of you come. Now I'm just looking here. Oh, there's also youth. So I can look everywhere. But you come to youth and you think, and maybe that's also our mistake. Then we say we're sorry. That, yeah, we just need to finish school and go to youth on Fridays. I want to tell you that there is a calling from God on your lives that many of you don't realize yet. Okay, and you think that, and that's why we were talking about the youth on Friday, and we, like us, leadership, have to approach the youth differently, and especially in this nation. The scripture says God will pour out His Spirit on young and old. The young will prophesy, the old will dream dreams. But the point is that this message is for you guys also. You can have a significant impact where you walk in school, because the schools are crazy with sin. I'm not saying it's your fault, but it's just mind-boggling what's going on in schools. And God will speak to you guys. And you might think here this morning, but whoa, I'm not, I don't know scripture, I don't know nothing, I can't speak in front of people, I'm disabled. That's exactly you too God is speaking to. I said it again. Jesus took fishermen. They were catching fish along the Galilee, Sea of Galilee. They were, if you want to label them with a perspective of the world, they were useless people. They were the outcasts. You know, some of them were the rowwe manne. Hulle was vuil en as vis geryk en daai goed. And when Jesus called them, they weren't even saved. But Jesus called them and said, you guys, I'm going to use you. And I want to say to the youth, it's our responsibility to equip you to get there, but you must wake up in a nice way. Jesus wants to use you mightily. You know, we always say as a Shofar church, where is it? Ugh, I don't really want to refer to it. What's it? Church planting there. Now, we want to plant churches not only where the white people are living. If I can be very honest, we want to plant them where the black people are also living. We're going to need black people to go there. You guys. You know that I'm not a racist. I'm just challenging you here this morning that God is going to plant churches not through only the big top dudes here in church, through you guys. Okay? You ready for it? Every year after the matrix go up to the north and we lose them. Can't happen. We're not going to lose people. We're going to plant churches with you. Amen. So, there is nothing, but I'll get to that in Scripture. You think now, oh, but I don't have enough. I don't have. No, 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 no. Scripture will show you, you have an inheritance. The next Scripture, Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I say this often, Christianity is a religion where you have to do nothing to get your salvation. In other words, you don't have to do the good works beforehand. And then when you have done enough good works, then God says, all right, thank you, box is ticked, you can have your salvation. Now, God says, I've done everything for you, here is your salvation, do you want it? Then you take it, you have it. But this scripture, and we should not lose sight of it, Peter also says it, is then we start walking in the good works. Scripture also says that we will do greater things than Jesus did. I want to say there's an inheritance and there are good works that only you can walk in. I've got my portion that I have to walk in. Good works. I've got my planet, what God has prepared for me. Yes, I must walk in there. But there are 100 people here in the morning and every one of you has got a set of good works that God wants you to walk in. Are you with me? A path that God wants you to walk in where you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are doing God's work. Well, doesn't mean you have to go into full-time ministry, but God can just channel His Holy Spirit and power through you wherever you go. Amen. Yeah, I don't know if I should mention my movie story again. But who of you have seen the movie Matrix? Long ago, it's an old movie if you're young here this morning. Matrix, the first one. The others were rubbish. First one was good. Nobody here made the Matrix. So in the first movie, Neo, I think his name's Neo, huh? Right at the end there, he now obviously realized that the people are living in the Matrix. They're like zombies. They just do. But he was like liberated or something. And he could see that they are in bondage. And then right there in the end, he flies away, up in the air. And he's got a mission in life, and that is, I must set them free. I must get them to where I am. I must help them to see life from a perspective that what's really going on here. And God wants to do a similar thing. Don't get me wrong here. But God wants us to live in the Spirit full time, and that would be similar to us being elevated a little bit, and we can see things in life differently. You walk by your friend, or you walk by somebody you don't even know, like Sia said, it happens normally. Then you get a pain in your body. It happened to somebody here this week. And that pain, this is just an example. And then God would say, but this guy struggles with that pain in his knee. And he said, brother, do you have a pain in your knee? Yes, I do. How do you know that? Oh, no, God told me. Can I pray for it? Healed. Matrix people. Are you with me? It's not a boring lifestyle that we're supposed to be living. But I do know that God will, once again, I say challenge. You must say, oh, thank you, challenge. Not, oh, challenge. But God challenged me after that CS weekend I was at work. I just want to do my work, Lord. And then there's one young guy. We have to work together. And then God put something in my heart. I must pray for this guy. Not there. So I go home and I didn't even have a desire to watch TV that night. I just put off the TV and I went to my room and prayed and read. And I climbed into the bed and I prayed. And I said, Lord, okay, I don't know. You give me a heart for this guy, but now I'm not going to just share anything with him. I want to know what you tell me. So God showed me what to tell him. Next morning, now I'm at work. And I know I have to do it today because I'm going to leave the next day. Well, that was, I had another day. But anyway, so right at the end of the day, I bring this guy. I said, listen, sorry, you know, I don't know what religion you are, but I believe I've got a word from God for you. And he's like, well, okay. Luckily, he didn't hit me. He was a bit bigger. But I can run. I think I would have been faster. I have the exit route. So I tell him this thing, and he, like I also said, he didn't start crying or anything, but he was very open. He said, wow, thank you, you know, and he actually left church, and he doesn't know. Yeah, he thinks he's a Christian, but he listened, because somebody heard from God, and, you know, God showed interest in him. That is the kind of good works that God wants us to walk in. Good works that God has prepared for us beforehand. And I want to emphasize it again here, is that God would not, we always, I don't know if it's us in the Western world, and I hate that saying in any case, we always want a formula. So now you hear me or you see us, now you think God's going to work with you because that's the formula. Okay, so you pray, and then you hear, and then you go to him, and then, no man. Get rid of the formula. If you treat your wife like a formula, you'll get divorced. If you're in any relationship and it's a formula, man, it doesn't work. So what I want to tell you is God will speak to you in your own unique way. You don't have to do what I do. You don't have to do what CS does. But there is a portion, there is an inheritance of spiritual blessings and good works where you must walk in. Ephesians 3 verse 7. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. Ephesians 3 verse 8. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That in verse 7 it says, by the working of his power. So I want you to realize that, man, it's actually, if you're in a place this morning, you say, but I don't know if I can do this. I want to say you're at a great place. That's actually better than being in a place where you think, wow, yes, I can do this. Because if you, that's why scripture says, in your weakness, his strength will come through. But this scripture says there's a power that is working in us. When you gave your life to Christ, there is a power that works within you. You don't have to go through 10 years of Bible school to be, to flow in the Spirit. You have the power. It's for you to get the key to unlock it in your life so that it happens more naturally often around you. And then in verse 8 it says, so that we can make known this unsearchable riches to the world. You know, it's also one thing we must realize is to preach the gospel, when scripture talks about that, it doesn't mean you're like standing here and talking to people about Jesus Christ. Not only. A lot of it should be that. But there's so many ways in which we can minister the gospel to people. There's so many examples in scripture where Jesus, just at the woman at the well, a prostitute, he talks to her and he says, where's your husband? And, you know, so Jesus got a revelation that you can, like I said, find somebody at the till in the shop and just say, God is telling me you're going through a tough time. You didn't preach. But you spread the gospel. You spread God's love. You were an open vessel. We also, Janko once told me this. You know, people, the Christians in Acts, they didn't have the New Testament. They only had the Old Testament. But they had the gospel. Are you with me? They didn't have the gospel as in the New Testament, but they had the gospel. So their gospel wasn't written. They had the Old Testament, yes. But it wasn't written. It was on their hearts. When they spoke about Jesus, it wasn't from, it could have been from the Old Testament, but it couldn't be from the New Testament because they didn't have it. So, preaching the gospel is something that comes from inside. Are you with me? It's something that you have and you talk it, you live it. I mean, I must go on. People, I know it's very hot, east wind, but all our surfers are very happy. All the surfers are happy when this weather is here. How many are there? Very little here this morning. Peter is an old surfer, retired surfer. It's only me that's happy. Walter, wannabe. I'm very happy. The only time we get offshore winds is when it's hot like this. I'll explain what offshore means later. Luke 17, verse 21. Nor will they say, see here or see there, if indeed the kingdom of God is within you. We always look for another lecture, another equipping session. But Scripture says the kingdom of God is, it's here within you. So you must just give what you have. You don't have to go and look for the, it's the challenge is to get the revelation of what God has placed in your heart. But He says it's within you. We don't have to run around and look for it. We must sit down and look for it in our own quiet time with God. Pray, and then when we see Him, when we get closer to Him, that's when He starts talking to us. Ephesians 3 verse 6. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. I'll just continue. Ephesians 3 verse 19. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We have to be honest with ourselves at times. And as a pastor, I tell you this, that we go through the same. We're not always full of God. We're not always completely full. This thing where you say that you get filled with the Holy Spirit and now you think you're going to be full forever. No. It's a work that in your life you have to constantly do, that when you feel a bit drained, that you go to your inner closet or whatever closet and you pray and you get God to fill you with His Holy Spirit again so that you can live out of the Spirit. But the Scripture says, filled with all the fullness of God. And God wants us to live that type of a life where we are full, full of God constantly. So sometimes people come to me, well, I can just give them the good advice because I've gone through it myself. And it's like, oh yeah, church is boring and I don't know, I don't have a motivation anymore and so on. And then all I can tell them is, no, don't do more. Because then sometimes we register in our brain, oh no, I must pray harder and faster and go to more services and sacrifice and all that stuff. And no, all I can tell you is, listen, where do you get your motivation from? What motivates you to follow Jesus Christ? Go and find that. So all I'm telling you is, that thing that excited you when you came to Christ the first time, that thing that keeps you on track, what was it? Go and find it again. So like for people in worship, it would mean if you got involved with worship because you love to get people, draw people into His presence. Now you do it for half a year and you're like, ah. What I can tell you is, then go and worship in your house until you get that excitement again, until you like see God again and He excites you. Then come back and worship again. Then you'll feel better. Go to the source. Amen. Ephesians 3 verse 20. I'll just read. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Ephesians 4 verse 19 to 13. In saying He ascended, what does it mean but that He had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature in the fullness of Christ. To the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. So this scripture says here, there is a There is a fullness in Christ that we can have. So in other words, we can be half or we can be empty, depending on where we are. I don't know where we are. But there's a fullness that we can walk in. There's a blessing that we can walk in. People say when you're in love, you stop up your volker, you loop up volker. You walk on clouds, it's like you're swifting. Because you're so in love, nothing else matters. Now, spiritually, we can walk on clouds. I remember that Walter was driving with me to Windhoek. That whole week, it's just like I'm thinking about constantly. It's not like I'm walking and praying, but I'm praying constantly. I'm talking to him. He's talking to me. And it's like I'm a bit drunk in the spirit almost. It's like there's a non-stop communication that's happening there. And it's amazing. And then when God says, share with that man, it's not like, oh Lord, I'm too afraid. It's like, yes, amen. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me. But it's that walking in the fullness of Christ. Okay. Measure of the stature. So I've asked the same question in the Afrikaans service. How big are you spiritually? If you have to think about yourself, how big are you spiritually? Are you spiritually small? Are you spiritually medium? Are you spiritually large or extra large? How do you see yourself? I think the answer lies in the question that C.S. also asked is, how big is your God? Your God. It's not like, now normally when somebody would ask you, how big is your God? You'd quote scripture at them. You'd say, whoa, scripture says he is like this and this big and he does this. No. I know scripture says this. How big is he to you? Because sometimes we limit God here in hierdie kop, in hierdie brain for us. We limit him right here. And the answer to how big you are spiritually is related to how big you think he is. Does it make sense? Because if your God is the God that you don't question his authority or whatever, because he's done it in your own life, you see it in your own life, it works, it happens, you approach life the same way. Because if he's come through for you and that person was healed, God spoke to me, and when I told that guy, it all happened. That's how big your God is. That's how big you are spiritually. But the devil lies to us. He tells you, brother, you're too small. It's because he breaks down God's authority in your life. He breaks down the picture of God that you have in your life. That's what he does. And he knows if he does that, it affects you. So we're going to pray for people afterwards, after this service, so that God will restore that picture of himself in your own life. Because when you have a revelation of how big God is, you walk in that same authority. C.S. told us, Reinhard Bonnke, man, I must still see this one day. It's like now they preach and then then they pray for the sick. But it's like he's got a list like this long, I don't know how long it is, of all the sicknesses. And Reinhard Bonnke doesn't have time to walk to everybody and say, what's your sickness? Okay, I'll pray for that. What's yours? No. He goes through the list. He starts, cancer, in Jesus' name, go. Next one. And then the people start going crazy. Then cancer goes. Those that can't walk, the blind see. It happens. Those that are deaf, it happens. So it's not like he needs to psych himself up and say, Shandalorwala, pray in the spirit and then blah, pray for somebody. No, authority. My God is big. I say cancer goes and it goes. Death, go. He's got a revelation. The only difference between me and him, or you and Reinhard, somebody like Reinhard Bonnke, is your revelation of who God is. His God is not different. We serve the same God. That man is close to God. That man sees God. That man knows God. And he speaks with that same authority to sickness, and it goes. I still remember when we went on a mission. We always think that people that go on a mission trip, well, I just experienced it like this. The people that are more blessed are the people that go on the mission trip, not the people that actually receive them. Because when you go, you get blessed. So we were in Mozambique. just saved, and now we have to pray for children. And they were very bold, you know. So the guy comes to me, he says, no, he's got a headache. I think he said he's got a headache or some sickness. And now everybody's busy praying, and I'm looking for the leader because I haven't prayed for anybody that got healed. But where's the leader? You know, he's busy, so I had to pray for him. And I had to just come to that place and say, well, Lord, it's not you, or it's not me, it's you. So I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. And I walked away. But I guess he was healed. But I had to get to that place where I realized it's not about me, it's just about me stepping out and doing it. And God said he's big enough that he must heal him, not me. Amen. But we can walk in that fullness of Christ. And yes, we have to step out in faith, in boldness a little bit. But that's great. That's all right. We can do it. Ephesians 4 verse 23 to 24. I'm almost finished. I think so. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. To put on the new self. You know, we know that scripture says when we get baptized, the old man dies, he drowns. That's why we keep you down there so much, so long. You that have not been baptized in this church, it's a story. No, I'm joking. We only keep you there for about 10 seconds. Depending on how much sin you have in your life. So that's what scripture says. Yes, we die and we come up a new man. But you know what? We get baptized and then we walk with Christ. We put on some of that old stuff again. Now let's not be holy. We all do it. But this scripture says, put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So in our lives, we have to sometimes shake off some old things again. And, you know, just get the new, just get the spirit, just get the riches, the glory of God in our lives. So that we can live exciting Christian lives. But I know it's difficult, you know, we go through things in life. And then we fall back to our formulas and we fall into the flesh. God doesn't want us. Anyway, Ephesians 5 verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. I already told you what this means to us, is that we can walk on clouds, basically. We can be like that man in Matrix. We can see things differently. We're drunk, but in the Spirit. We are separated from this world. Things in this world doesn't affect us so much. We see things spiritually that other people don't see. We see where there's a need where other people don't see it. I believe that God's gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, flow. Where do they flow? We think they only flow here in church. No, they don't. They flow outside. They flow everywhere. They flow where we let them flow. Jesus Christ's ministry was out there in the streets with drunk people and prostitutes. That's where his ministry was. And our ministry, that spiritual blessing that God wants to bless us, that portion, inheritance of good works. Well, it obviously happens here, but it happens the moment we step out of church here and we go to work. Do you believe me? Amen. And the topic of the sermon is... now I only have the Afrikaans one here. But it says different source means a different motivation. So sometimes... in our Christian walk, I'm talking to Christians here this morning. You might not be a Christian. Your motivation, then your source would also be wrong. But we live out of the wrong source. And then we ask ourselves, why am I not motivated? All I can tell you is because you must go back to the source. You go back to the source, the bron. You have life. In our lives, every now and then have to put off the old. Go back to God, go back to the source, and then live. But our walks are mostly like that. We're just human, and God is not angry with us. But we walk with Him, and then we go back to the source. And then we walk a little bit away, and then he says, no, 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 go back. And that's how we live. But there's a promise in Scripture that we can walk in the Spirit nonstop. We can be drunk in the Spirit. God can do things through us constantly. Ephesians 6 verse 19, the second last scripture, people, then we can close off. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. The job of sharing the gospel to the world is the responsibility of each and every Christian. It is not the responsibility of leadership. Scripture only talks about that church leadership must equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The miracles, the healing, and I like that about CS's approach, and we should do it more often, is that he doesn't have to pray for everybody, because everybody thinks he's now Superman. He says, no, 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 when we were at that SOS training, no, you, where's your sickness? Okay, you pray for him. No, you. Because we've got this almost evil connection that God only works through certain people. God works through his people. Anyway, the scripture, opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. The job, like I said, of proclaiming the mystery, of proclaiming, you guys can't wait for us to go to your school. We have to be involved there, but the proclaiming of the gospel must be done by you. Amen. The last scripture, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. And that's what we want to do this morning. And I want to say this also. I forgot to say that in the first service. If your small group becomes boring, do an outreach. Are you with me? Hello? If you, I don't know, there's this fear that I don't know where it comes from, but that we must follow a certain structure in small group. Outreach must happen there. So if you, you're a small group leader and you don't have to ask anybody's permission, ooh, that's weird. Well, we think like that. If you as a small group want to do an outreach, I would say it's the best place to go to do it. Because then it's like there's safety and you can do it together and there's covering and so on. But if your small group becomes boring, do an outreach. If you've got a desire after a sermon like this or after CS is yeah, to do an outreach, no, but we can't just sit in our small group and talk. We want to reach people. Do it in your small group. Do it. Take your small group on a Wednesday night and go to, you know, I think we chose the easy way out, but it was still a blessed, because CS said, after lunchtime, we must now all go out and minister, talk to somebody. So we went to the hospital, the state hospital, which was actually easy because you're going to find sick people there. And they would want prayer. It's not so intimidating to go to the hospital and pray for people. It's a lot more intimidating to go to town and into the streets and then God speaks to you. So anyway, we chose the easy way out. But if you, what I want to say is, if you say, but where do we start? Start in prison or in a hospital. There is so much need. We don't have to look for need. The needy are there. People that need Jesus Christ are there. I saw when we did that, I liked it. I loved it. We were talking to this one person about God and then we walked away. And another guy came. He said, please, can you pray for me? We think that people are close to hearing the gospel. They want to hear it. They're in great and desperate need to hear it. And I was blessed, was challenged, because we have to go back. And apparently, Ruan is not here now, but I guess he works with the patient. He just walked into the wards there and he started praying for people and he took over, which was nice. But let God speak to you as a small group or as a whatever. And just say, Lord, we want to flow in the gifts of Holy Spirit. We want this spiritual blessing, inheritance that you talk about, this fullness in Christ. We want that. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. This scripture is it's comforting. Because it basically means to me that sometimes in your life you will get to a place where you feel dry. Then scripture says, don't complain about it. Create a fan. Get the fan, and if you can't do it, get your brother and your sister and say, listen, man, I feel depressed. Pray for me. Fan this flame like flummoxy. Get some oxygen on the thing so that it can start burning again. Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through laying on of my hands. And this scripture, I don't believe it only relates to the spiritual gifts, you know, because I believe it, if you pray for somebody and they want to get filled with the Holy Spirit, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and God will use specific people in specific gifts, more specifically, like me, gifts, discerning of spirit and so on. But I can flow in any of the other gifts if I'm open to it, if God talks to me. I can't stand at the till and God says, this lady has got a back problem. Pray for her. No, Lord, my gift's not healing. No, if God says, then you get the gift when you go and you pray. But the scripture says, every now and then we must fan it up. We must make sure that we don't get dry. Amen. And this morning I want to trust God that we fan some flames. Is that the right way of saying it? Can we bow our heads? We can all, yeah, let's stand also. Let's just bow our heads and pray. And I want us to keep quiet. Oh, there's an announcement that I missed. If you guys, you're more than welcome to come a bit earlier to the Sunday service because we don't have coffee and tea after both services. We have them in the middle now. So if you want to mingle with Afrikaans people, come a bit earlier. Anyway, if you are here this morning and you want us to pray for you, that you feel that there's a dryness, but you want this spiritual blessing, you want to walk on cloud nine, you want to be have that dynamic relationship with God where it doesn't become stale, where it's constantly exciting because the Holy Spirit speaks to you and things happen around you. If you are here this morning and you want us to pray like the scripture says, to fan into flame that gift. If you feel dry, and I want you to don't feel bad if you're dry this morning. I mean, then that scripture like this wouldn't be in the Bible. That scripture is in the Bible because sometimes we feel like that, and then we must fan the flame. So if you're here this morning and you want us to help you, to encourage you in your gift, then would you, if there's anybody like this, would you just put up your hand? I want to see who you are. Are there any more? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Okay, can I ask those people to please come forward? Sorry for that challenge. And we're going to pray for you. Don't be shy. We're going to ask God to bless you. You can just stand here and face this way. And can I ask people to help come and help me pray? We want to pray for each one specifically, individually. Wolfgang's Walter. Soek nog 'n paar vroue. Okay, ons sal regkom so. And then, just the last opportunity I want to make here is that if there's anybody here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you haven't started the relationship with Him, then that's why we have church. Is so that you can come to Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here this morning that you don't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, I believe God is, the Holy Spirit will speak to you now. And that, you know, it's that uneasiness in your heart that's going on. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. But if you are like that this morning and you want to give your life to God, then we want to give you the opportunity to do that. So, is there anybody like that? Let's just bow our heads again. Is there anybody that wants to give their life to God this morning for the first time? Okay. I'm going to close off now in prayer, and then you guys can go, and then we will pray for these people individually. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the fullness of Christ that we can walk in, and there's nothing that hinders us from doing that, Father. It's just us. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless everyone that's here, and bless especially the people here in front, Lord. And I pray that you will give us wisdom and knowledge now as we pray for them, so that they can get closer to you and see you closer. Just see who you are, see your character, Lord. Sometimes we get so clouded by what the world says about you, or what the world portrays about you, and we just want a clear picture of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. We're going to pray for these people.